Welcome to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast, presented by 13 Fishing Canada. Make your own luck. We're here to scratch that angling itch and talk everything fishing. Join us as we sit down with special guests from across the industry. Now, here's your hosts, Brandon Cater and Logan Lewis.
Thank you for joining us on episode 11 of the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. My name is Logan Lewis, and I'm happy to be joined by my co-host, Brandon Cater. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. Another busy week here in the studio of the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. We had another great special guest on for another great episode. If this is your first time tuning in to the show, welcome. If you tune in for every episode, we appreciate you. This is another great one. Big announcement from our guest. I guess we might as well just announce it. We had James from the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation on for a really good episode. A lot of great information and a big informational drop from him and his team over at SWFA.
Yeah, for sure. If for those of you who don't know, James is the head of fisheries there. He definitely has some crazy knowledge about specifically the Saskatchewan fisheries that you'll see later on in the episode here. But it was really, really great getting to talk to him. We'd kind of talked to him behind the scenes a bit before, but this was really our first time sitting down and just having a chat, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. He's super knowledgeable about the fisheries here in Saskatchewan, obviously. But in other news, I mean, there's a lot going on here in the province aside from that. I mean, the Regina Beach Walleye Classic was just this past weekend. It was a little bit windy. I heard that there was some issues with some boat control stuff. Talked to a few guys that were in the tournament. But nonetheless, it was a successful tournament, safe and successful during these COVID-19 times. Another great event by the Saskatchewan Walleye Trail. It's one of the longest trails in Canadian history, I believe. So that's just one of the events throughout the year. One of our past guests, Tim Jenny, from PK Lures, he was fishing in that tournament.
Uncle Tim.
And we had the luxuries of getting the midday and post-day updates from him on how things were going. And him and his partner were able to pull off a number nine, ninth place finish. So another top 10 there for Tim. And just a successful tournament all around from talking to a few guys. And yeah.
We're looking forward to our first one. We may as well get right into that. For this episode is going to come out on Friday, and we'll be checking in later that night for the tournament. And then Saturday, things will be kicking off at the Buffalo Pound Tournament for us with the Saskatchewan Wildlife or Moose Jaw Wildlife Federation, right?
Yeah, so the Buffalo Pound Tournament is actually hosted or put on by the Moose Jaw Wildlife Federation, which is obviously just a branch of the overall organization. So it's definitely one that we're excited to partake in, being, you know, partnered with the Saskatchewan Wildlife, as well as getting into the tournament scene a little bit and learning a few things and kind of seeing how it goes. I'm sure we're gonna have lots to talk about on the next episode about what we learned and kind of the experience as a whole, kind of going in almost blind into a tournament situation. Luckily for me, I got the day off of work tomorrow, so I'm gonna head out with my partner and do a little bit of pre-fishing. I've never fished Buffalo Pound in the summer, so I really have no idea what to expect. I've only fished it twice in the winter, but hopefully it'll be a lot of fun and lots of learning experiences.
Yeah, well, at least like I've grown up out there, been out there since I was born, so I guess I'm lucky enough in that sense that I've fished it a lot. But kind of forget to mention that you've got Tim as your partner, who's won the tournament there before, so going in with a good guy definitely to learn from too, like especially just all the knowledge you'll have tournament wise. Like I can go out there and catch fish, but I think that whole tournament aspect is going to be totally different and exciting to learn. Very prepared to be heavily humbled by the end of the time, or the end of the day Saturday, but I think it's going to be a good time and looking forward to it.
Oh, me as well. I mean, just getting out there is going to be a great day. I mean, Friday, we were planning on pre-fishing on Friday, and I think it's supposed to be like 89 kilometer hour wind gusts. So that's not safe or even enjoyable to even attempt. So we're not going to go out on Friday. Hopefully the winds can hold off a little bit on Saturday, which is tournament day, and it's supposed to be sunny and 24. So I guess
Yeah, just I think 40K gusts, right, on Saturday potentially. So it's not as bad, but still yeah, would be enough.
But it'll be fun. And what else we got going on? I think there's another head-to-head Facebook Live tournament that kicked off today. So there's all kinds of entertainment for walleye fishing on Facebook as well. Have you been watching lots of the NHL playoffs? I know the Bruins are playing tonight.
Yes. So, yeah, that's where I'm on the way up to the cabin after recording these intros and outros here. So potential elimination game for the Bruins to be eliminated, unfortunately. We'll see how it goes. It's been a good playoff. It's been a lot of fun to watch, especially starting to see those fans back in the stadiums. It's just been electric. And I know it's a little bit different than the fishing, but definitely one of our favorite things to do is hockey-related things. So definitely looking forward to tonight, but nervous as can be.
I know that you're a big Bruins fan, and you were hoping that they were going to end up taking home the Stanley Cup. But James, our guest, I know he's a big Avs guy, and he had high hopes for the Avalanche. But I don't know. I think Tampa Bay is going to end up taking it home. I guess we'll see. Carey Price has been standing on his head. The Montreal Canadiens, as long as Price is in the net, could be contenders as well. So definitely looking forward to the outcome of the Stanley Cup playoffs and some more fishing tournaments as well.
Yeah, I guess one thing that I kind of want to mention here for Shayna, who is our first guest, with our I guess I think it's her full-time job right now and my part-time job with my Catch by Angler's Atlas. She's actually putting together a tournament called the Multi-Species Madness. It'll be hosted on MyCatch there, and it's basically, I believe it's a 10-day, kind of 10-day brawl. Try and catch as many species as you can. The size doesn't matter. You're just trying to knock as many species off the board as you can. I think it'll be a fun time for sure, especially maybe some of the fly fishers out there that listen to this. I know you guys are heavy into the multi-species there with all the different trout, but that's just something I wanted to make mention of. She's trying to get this tournament off the ground here, so we'd be remiss if we didn't. She's our very first guest on this podcast, so I think it'll be a fun tournament for sure. I'd fish it if I could, but yeah, for sure, make sure to check that out on the Angler's Atlas website under the tournament
section. Yeah, and that's almost kind of like a 39 hours template. Obviously, it's 10 days and not 39 hours, but you're basically just chasing down as many species as you can across the province. So definitely some cool news and cool stuff coming from MyCatch. And of course, we have to give a shout out to our sponsors of the show. We have Blackfish Gear. They are a fantastic apparel company out of the States. They're partnered with Clam Outdoors, and they have some of the best outerwear apparel for the fishing industry. I know we definitely love our soft shells, the pullovers, the bibs, the jackets as well. If you know, you're heading out in the rain, like I mentioned, I was going to go out on Friday in those crazy winds, and it was supposed to be 80% chance raining. At least I know I got my rain suit if we did head out, that I was going to be protected from the elements. All kinds of great stuff. UPF apparel, so protect yourself from the sun. Definitely check them out. If you are interested, we do have a discount code for you guys from the show. It is linked below in the show notes. Do you have it there, Logan?
I believe I have it written down here from last time. It is BFVIP21 Weekend Warriors. 21 is just the numbers there, but that's BFVIP21 WKNDWARRIORRS.
Perfect.
Spelling is hard.
So that's 15% off Blackfish's website. The entire website. Go get yourself some jackets, some sun protective gear, and all kinds of great stuff. We need to give a shout out to the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation. And of course, James, he's our guest today on the show. We definitely appreciate you guys partnering with us and providing us with this great informational episode as well. And last but not least, we want to give our friends over at Lucky Bastard a shout out. They just released their first canned product just in time for summer. It is a Saskatoon berry iced tea, and it is definitely refreshing. I gave myself the luxury of trying it the day that it launched. There's only three places, three liquor boards in Regina here that actually have it right now. It's pretty hard to come by. It's a limited stock for their first launch here, but it is very refreshing, something that I'll be sipping on all summer long. Definitely check it out. We do have a 10% off discount code for their website, Weekend Warriors. Go check them out. Local distillery right here in Saskatchewan, some of the best products that you can get your lips on.
Get ready to stand on guard for the...
Prohibition is over, Saskatchewan. Ask Lucky Bastard today how you can make Canada's ultimate Caesar, True North and Strong. Featuring Lucky Bastard's premium dill pickle vodka, LB's famous bacon rimmer, and bacon bitters. It's not a Caesar if it's not Lucky Bastard. Order online or stop by 814 47th Street East. And tonight, why not mix your Caesar with some Lucky Bastard?
So once again, you can use our code WeekendWarriors for 10% off any of your orders from Lucky Bastard Distillers. And we'll just hop right into the interview here with James from the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. My name is Brandon, and I'm here with my buddy Logan. And we have a special guest tonight, James. How do you pronounce your last name, James? I don't want to butcher it here on air here.
Villeneuve, whatever.
All right, whatever your vibe in that day.
However you want to say it, it doesn't matter.
All right, well, okay. James is from the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation. They've partnered up with us on the podcast, and James has been kind enough to come on tonight and talk a little bit about the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation, what he does with them, as well as some big news that is coming to Saskatchewan. Thanks for coming on, James. We appreciate you taking the time out of your night. We know you had a very, very busy last 48 hours.
Hey, thanks for having me. Really happy to be here.
Yeah, I was excited for this one because it's always something that I've known is in Saskatchewan with the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation, but actually having someone on the pod that works there, it'll be interesting to see. Kind of, there is a lot of things that people do know that goes on that you guys work with, but I'm sure just the amount of knowledge you have that's with things that are going on there will be very useful for people that maybe were considering getting a membership and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Sweet. Happy. So I guess, sorry, what was that?
Oh, no, I was just saying that I'm happy to be here, and following up Gord Pizer is never an easy task, but we'll see how it goes.
No, that's totally fine. I guess what we should maybe start with here is what specifically do you do with the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation?
Yeah, so I'm the director of fisheries, so I operate the fisheries enhancement agreement. So essentially looking at projects across the province that will improve fishing for anglers here, whether it be angler access, so fixing a road into a lake, or, you know, doing some work on a boat launch, or doing other things like developing urban fishing, like a trout pond or a fishing platform on a local pond, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so with, I guess that's almost kind of like the unsung hero behind the scenes thing that most people, you just pull up to the launch and launch your boat and you don't think about, hey, maybe how did that get here, right?
Take it for granted.
Well, you know, there's a lot, and we're always looking for new projects too. So like we're trying to develop as many fisheries projects as we can across the province to get more people involved with angling.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a great way to go about it, especially when you, with it being a membership program, there's kind of that community that gets built, right?
Sure. Yeah. And it's definitely our membership is really involved in developing the projects, but it actually extends beyond that. So we have a partnership with the Ministry of Environment and actually run that program for all public water bodies, not just membership based.
Okay.
Across the province. Yeah.
Nice.
And you just actually, you were on a pretty big trip here the last 48 hours. You just got home, quickly showered and hopped on. What were you doing? Where were you and what were you checking out?
Yeah, it was, assisted Ministry of Environment with a fisheries assessment on a lake just south of Saskatoon, and then moved up and looked at repairing a low-level crossing just north of North Battleford there, and then over checking out some of our existing projects for kind of updating their status and figuring out what needs to happen in terms of maintenance going on, and then looked at a boat launch over by Hudson Bay and came home and hopped right on.
After some technical issues that we didn't let you know about, where here we are.
There,
That's okay. It's
part of the fun. There's always always something with technology, but nonetheless, we appreciate you. You know, coming on. We know you're probably exhausted. It's 35 degrees out. It's not like it's a normal day in Saskatchewan. It's 35 degrees. The heat is absolutely exhausting, and I mean, you were on a pretty big trip there. So, okay, so you have a lot to do with the Fisheries Enhancement Program here in Saskatchewan. But what else does the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation put forth to the province? Just for people that maybe aren't aware.
In general. So we kind of have our three main pillars are habitat. So we have public lands across the province that we maintain and manage and conserve for future use. And then we have education, which is a really big component as well. So we run a camp for youth and some other initiatives just south or just north of Candle Lake, I should say. And then we have a bunch of other great education programs. And then fisheries is obviously another key component to what we do in the province. And then there's some other benefits of membership as well, including insurance for being out, and you get access to some publications and stuff like that. So,
I guess it's
a really great organization.
Yeah, for sure. I guess like we had mentioned on Gord's episode, they're one that his articles are frequent, right, with the Outdoor Canada magazine.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, with the membership subscription to Outdoor Canada, West is included with it. So, and you get inside of there, there's actually a little Saskatchewan specific section that just deals with what's going on in the province that you can't get off the shelf.
Okay.
So it's an extra little added bonus that's kind of nice to have.
It is.
Sweet. Yeah.
I definitely enjoy that little snippet of Saskatchewan, like the Saskatchewan wildlife specific category. Like the last issue that I got, I was going through it and it had a snippet about the hatchery that we have. And it was, you know, it introduced some of the people that work at the hatchery, et cetera, et cetera. And I know a couple of them, but I thought that was kind of unique, you know, seeing, you know, those familiar faces and the Saskatchewan, you know, fishing hatchery, right in the dead center of the Outdoor Canada magazine. I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, you guys also have a partnership, or what do you guys have going on with the Saskatchewan, with the hatchery there?
So we manage and staff the hatchery. So it does fall under the SWF for sure. It's one of our it would fall under fisheries, but yeah. They don't work directly at our office, but they're out in Fort Capel.
Okay, kind of like a branch off of SWF then?
Yeah, they are their own entity, but we are very heavily involved with them, and there's a lot of collaboration going back and forth between SWF central office and the hatchery.
Okay, cool. So I guess the one of the main reasons you're on here, do we want to hop into that right now?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. I guess it's something that we've been teasing on here for quite a while, saying stay tuned. Listen and see kind of when the news comes out. But I guess you've been working on this for quite a while and ready to announce a master angler program for Saskatchewan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it should be coming out sometime in July. We've run into a couple little delays, but we're really excited to launch the master angler program for the province, and excited to get some of those big trophy fish, get people rewarded for that.
Yeah, I think that should be pretty cool. I went to Manitoba fishing for the first time last September long, and downloaded their Master Angler app, and it was very cool getting to do that. And so I've always thought that'd be so neat if Saskatchewan had something like that. And then I heard a little whispers not too long ago, and I was like, man, like if this actually comes to be, I think that'll be very cool to get to partake in.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be great, and it's definitely modeled after the Manitoba app, I'd say, to be fair to it. They have a really great program there. Ours is a little bit scaled down at the moment with room to grow in the future. There's going to be 23 eligible species in the province that qualify, and yeah, I'm really, really excited to get it out into the hands. And there is an accompanying app that's going to be released with it, but if you want to submit your catches on traditional web browser, you can do that as well. So
okay, sweet. Yeah, so even if there's a bit of delay on the app, at least you can still upload the picture to the computer.
Yeah, for sure. And the nice thing about the app is you will not require cell service to submit a catch. It will store that, and then when you get back into cell service, it will submit it.
But, oh, nice. That's huge. So many of those great fish are in lots of those areas where cell service is sketchy, especially in the province of Saskatchewan. Like, you can drive out to Buffalo Pound and you don't have service when you're going around the curve at Tuxford. So, like, yeah, it's pretty easy to lose it around here.
Yeah, from personal experience, that was really big. That was really big for me to try and get that incorporated into it, that ability to submit a catch without cell service. Yeah, it seems like about 50% of the time I'm out looking at lakes, I don't have cell service. So I know what it's like.
Sorry, I wasn't laughing at you there. I just heard Dad yelling upstairs. Bruins just scored in overtime. Marchand, baby. Sorry if people listening don't like the Bruins, but Dad's going wild upstairs, so I couldn't help myself from laughing there. He's still going. It's been about 15 seconds. sorry for that side note there.
But yeah, like, getting back to the app too, like, you know, you mentioning that, you know, it's been taking a little bit longer and stuff, but that's the thing with, you know, people don't realize the amount of work and especially the technology side of it, how much goes into developing an app and getting it right. I mean, you want to make sure when you do go to launch the program, you know, whether that be a soft launch or, you know, a full launch, that, you know, it's set up the way that you want it to. I mean, you've told us before, you've been working on this for a long time, and, you know, it's kind of like your little baby. I don't know how many of you guys are there working on it, or is it just specifically you and the developers?
Yeah, at the moment, it's mostly just myself and the developers, although, you know, any idea has been vetted and passed along, and I've had help within our office for a lot of different aspects to it. Do you want to talk a little bit about the features?
Sure. Yeah.
That's what I was just wondering about.
We might as well hop right into
that. Yeah, I guess like one of the key features to it is the map. So you'll be able to look at maps that have a map that will show you lakes with fish around you, or you can look at a specific species and that will show every lake that has that species in it in the province.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Okay. So
that's really breaking it down.
Yeah, it's updated with latest stocking information and everything like that. So it should be a really useful tool if you're trying to think of or look for new places to fish. I think it's going to be great. Or if you want to try a new species, you know, maybe try and get on a brook trout or something like that. You can look up for that specific species and then get out there and try it in a lake that you know that fish has been stocked into.
Yeah, I think that's cool that it has the stocking reports as well, because I definitely, when my family goes up to Otter Lake there for probably the last 10 or so years, and we always try to look at some of the lakes around there, and the stocking reports we find, like, we feel like we're on a deep dive in the internet, and we do end up finding them, right? And it's black and white. Like, some of the maps old maps I found of Buffalo Pound, and like found some different features and stuff like that, and like just kind of cool stuff, but you don't normally see those numbers as much, right? So I think that'll be huge to see, like, people I don't think realize how much actually gets stocked around the province, and just the sheer number of fish that will go into each lake is pretty crazy. So I think that'll people enjoy that for sure.
Yeah, and the I mean, it's a really great visual representation as well. Like, you know, the stocking reports are the PDF, and you can see the lakes listed, but it doesn't, it's nice to see them visually on a map and mm-hmm. be able to relate that to where you are, I think is, yeah. So we'll see how well that's received, and if people like it as much as I hope they do, because I think it's like it was a lot of effort, but I think it's worth it at the end of the day. I think it's like a really, really great, feature to be built right into the app.
Yeah, kind of just like an extra little side thing, right? And so I guess one thing is, to use the app, do you have to be a member of SWF at all?
So no, it's open to the general public. You can become a member directly from the app.
Okay.
If you have cell service. Yeah. But there's definitely a benefit to being a member and submitting your catches. Like, there will be additional prizes and awards available for members. But the app itself and the program, the Master Angler program, is available to the general public.
Okay. So when you say like the thing about like extra rewards with the members and stuff, as for the general public, is it similar to the Manitoba one with like there's like your badges or your certificates and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's so the way it'll work is your first species that you catch, and it can be any species of fish, whether it be walleye, northern pike, or one of the suckers. You can submit your catch that way, and you will receive the bronze pin and a certificate. And then when you reach After that, you reach 5, 10, and then the full 23. Those are the different pins, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because that's actually, I guess, with that, people are going to be like, well, they've seen, like, different Facebook groups and stuff that's like, there's 28 species you can catch, but I don't think people realize that, I'm guessing it's under the law, right, that some species you can't do that kind of program for, correct?
Yeah, and it's... I mean, first and foremost, the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation is a conservation organization. So
yeah,
targeting species at risk is something that I don't think we want to promote anyway. So they're just not available for the app. And the another thing, just for convenience sake, you can catch any species of sucker, whether it be quillback, long nose, white sucker, whatever. Mm-hmm. That all qualifies as one species.
Oh, okay.
And it's the same with bullhead, black and brown bullhead. But
yeah,
I think that's fair. Keep, like 23 should be enough to keep you going.
Yeah,
especially to catch a master angler.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how many are submitting for the full 23. So yeah. if we get, you know, 50 people with 23 different species, maybe I'll look at adding a couple more.
Yeah. Majority of your anglers are not going to be chasing 23 species. You know, there are those anglers that are going to, but you know, for the most part, most of these anglers are going to be, you know, chasing your typical walleye, pike, that kind of stuff. So, and this is just, I think it's just unbelievable that you guys are bringing this to Saskatchewan, and it's just going to bring a completely different outlook to anglers across the province. You know, we've talked about, you know, tournament angling on the podcast prior, and we've had, you know, a couple guests on, you know, Lane from the Saskatchewan Walleye Trail, you know, Tim Jenny. We've talked about it lots, but there's a lot of anglers that aren't interested in that. But this allows them to have a competitive aspect to angling, or being able to have some sort of history to go back on and actually look at their catches, instead of having to scroll through their camera roll and say, hey, I caught this fish 2 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Bring that competitive aspect for anglers against themselves, and kind of take their game to a new level.
Yeah, and we'll see where it goes. At the moment, it at launch, it's not going to be integrated, but down the road, there will be a leaderboard, which will add a little bit more to that competitive leaderboard by species, by lake, you know, a couple different ways of looking at it.
Yep.
I guess one of the main things about it that we should talk about is that it is a catch and release. So the fish has to be, you know, successfully released in order to qualify for the yep. program. Yep. There are other awards for members, and I'm sure in the province, that are for catch and keep, but this one specifically will be just a catch and release program.
Yeah, which I think that's the way to do it. We've talked about it with lots of our guests, like if you just listen to that one with Gord as well, and talking to Lane, like this program is Master Angler. They're the bigger, yeah. bigger side of those fish, right? So it's in the best interest of populations and just other anglers maybe having the chance to catch that fish, that those ones are released, right? So I think that's a really smart way to go about that.
And we've, keeping in the spirit of that, it's length based in terms of qualifying sizes. So weight will be approximated. It's not required. You don't have to weigh the fish, just to reduce that handling time and get those big fish back in the water with minimal stress.
That's a big thing.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's a big thing too. And even, you know, today on Facebook, I was scrolling through my newsfeed at lunchtime there, and there was a Facebook post in one of the groups, and it was talking about, you know, vertical holds on large fish and the effects that it has on it. And there was some controversial comments, and then somebody posted a picture of, you know, the NWT, you know, all the pros down in the States, you know, holding their fish vertical. And then there was more controversial comments about that. But I think that's definitely something, you know, I mean, that's what Logan and I want to try help promote too, is, you know, conservation and ethical angling. And we know that's what, you know, SWF is all about. And that's why we were super excited when, you know, we were able to partner up and create that partnership, because I think we all kind of have the same end goals. We all just kind of want to promote angling in the province, but, you know, ethical angling. So I think this program is definitely going to be on the right track, James. I think you're doing a fantastic job. I know you've been talking about it, this is going wrong, but it's going to be worth the wait. I just know it. I mean, there's always going to be some sort of glitch with technology, and that's, it's going to take a little while, but I think Saskatchewan's going to have a pretty dang good Master Angler program, thanks to yourself and the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation.
Yeah. And there's it's not just that, there's a couple additional features to it too. Like you can report your tagged fish if you're catching tagged fish right in the app. And that will be forwarded directly on. And that contributes to that citizen science aspect. And then another thing is Prussian carp. You can report Prussian carp directly from the app as well, and that will be passed on to the Summers Lab out of the University of Regina that's handling that.
I think that's huge, because like with the, I mentioned in the last episode, I believe, like the company I work for part-time with, Anglers Atlas, or My Catch by Anglers Atlas, it's kind of, people are out fishing anyways, right? And with My Catch, people want to, it's for any size of fish, but they want to log their catches and stuff like that, right? And that can help scientists as well. And then just like this app here with the Master Angler one, like you can, with the Prussian carp, so they can kind of monitor the spread of them, kind of thing. And just like, you're out fishing already, and it's not cheap for those scientists to get that kind of data and stuff like that, right? If they have to go do it themselves. So it's kind of that citizen science aspect with all the technology we have now is becoming a huge thing for those fisheries researchers.
It's just making it as easy and accessible as possible. You know, you don't have to, if you catch a fish that you suspect is a carp, there's an identification guide right there that breaks down the key elements of the species that helps you ID them and comparing them to other species that are commonly confused with them.
Right.
Tried to make it as useful as a tool out on the water as possible. And, you know, also I built in the angler's guide, the Saskatchewan Provincial Angler's Guide, right into it as well. So it's another essential resource to have while you're out on the water.
I think that's definitely a step big time in the right direction with COVID and everything, you know, how many new people are out there fishing, right? And even just in general, like I don't know how you would go about doing it. It's just, but I've always thought that it would be very beneficial to have, not necessarily like the hunter safety course and stuff like that, because there's a lot of other potential things with hunting, right? But just some kind of like proper handling, kind of like a guide that like, hey, you got your license, here's a 15-minute video that you should watch or is required to watch to get your license, just so that people kind of have an idea, because there's lots of people that don't know, and when they go on Facebook they get blasted by people like, how do you not know that and stuff, right? So I think having, like you said, the like common ways to identify different kinds of carp or suckers and stuff like that, and having the angling guide in there is very helpful for new people.
Yeah, and we have talked about doing and integrating some training videos or like helpful videos like that into it. I think, you know, that would be a really great tool that we should work on developing it. And, you know, maybe one day when you guys are out there, we can get together and film something like that. Proper handling techniques, release techniques for fish would be great.
Well, yeah, especially with your background in video. We could get into that a bit later, but
you'd definitely any be good excuse with that. To get out of fishing for me. So,
yeah.
Instead of just working on the fish, get out there and catch some fish.
Yeah. That sometimes it's hard. I always take a rod with me and, you know, I was at a pond last night, like I said, checking it out, and the fish were just popping off, feeding on insects. I was like, this would be so nice.
Yeah.
You know, you got to move on. You see all the good spots. It's one of the nice parts about my job is you see all the good fishing spots.
Oh yeah. You'd be all over the place, right? With that.
Yeah.
And some of like the lakes that get stocked that, to be honest, like not a lot of people get into, right? And you know where those are and what's in there and maybe potential sizes of them in there, right?
Yep, it's just making the time to actually
fish.
Yeah.
I gotta make a point of getting out.
You're gonna email us a list after this, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, it's all publicly available. Well, when you get the app, just check that out.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, there you go. Thank you so much for giving us that resource.
Yeah. No, I guess one thing I was wondering, when you said like how it will store the data if you're out of cell service, is this I can go back to 2017 and take my 40-inch pike that I have on a bump board picture and put it, or is it from now to like future kind of thing?
So no, you can't.
Okay. Wow. I think that's a good idea. I like that idea. I think that's good.
And we'll see how it goes, but the plan is to accept 2021 catches.
Okay. I think that's fair, because then you got, like, it's kind of, especially like when you said if you integrate the leaderboard and stuff, it's like, well, not that the leaderboard really matters as an individual. It's cool to see if you're up on it, right? But, like, I think it's good to go about that way. Like since this app or since 2021, these are the fish that have been caught in the province.
Yeah, and it's a great tool too to be able to see if people are reporting fish. It's another one of those things that we can look at and maybe see like how big of a fish is coming out of some of these lakes. Like there will be a toggle on off that will allow you to publicly hide the lake. If you don't want people to know the lake that you're fishing on, you have to enter the lake, but it will
hide it from the public.
I guess keep that. Yeah, exactly. For some of the anglers that are a little bit shy about sharing their sweet spots. But
yeah, which I think that's fair as well. Like it's to each their own, but I guess that data. So say like, obviously on the back end, you'll be able to see that. Is that also going to be like available to researchers as well, just for those fish in general? Or
we'll probably be able to use that in terms of, I guess, mostly as flags, right? So if if we have a suspected winter kill, for instance, in a lake, but we have evidence that refutes that by a submission, because someone's caught a trophy fish, then, you know, we know that that lake hasn't winter killed. So we'll be able to use it in the, in that way. It will actually, so it doesn't only accept trophy fish. We operate right now the fish registry where you can submit your catch anyway, but it doesn't, it's not part of the Master Angler program. So any fish that's submitted from the app, if it's too small, it will just be tucked into the registry. And then if it's if it looks more like a bait fish than a trophy, you know, it'll go into the Brandon registry. Wallace. And then if it's a trophy fish, it'll live in the Master Angler section.
Right.
And just to touch on some of those like Master Angler approved lengths, like say for your common walleye or pike angler, what kind of measurements are we looking at to have a fish qualify for the Master Angler program?
You think I have this memorized?
I was gonna say, just I guess how do you come up with those?
Oh yeah, so we, because so
I don't know, I've had
a
couple people mention that, you know, what is Manitoba, Logan? Is it 28 or 29?
What? You think I have these numbers memorized?
Come on,
I'm not sure. I feel like it's 29. I didn't catch any Master Angler ones there. I caught one little walleye. I was probably about 12 inches. I was going for cats, though.
So. But, I've talked to a few people that, you know, think that 28 is too small. But, I mean, it depends how stingy do you want to get. Is a 28 considered a trophy walleye? In most people's eyes, it is. So
Ours is 28.
Okay. That's what I figured.
For Saskatchewan. Yeah,
I think that's fair, because obviously you've got your lakes that will produce those more, but for the province in general, right, you got to take that into consideration.
I think it's, I mean, not that it's easy, but it's easier to get one or two of these species, you know, that are like maybe your walleye, it's easy to check off. But I think as you get towards the full list, as you approach more and more species, it's harder to get all of them in that qualifying size. So even if the threshold for walleye is a bit lower than the 29 that you were after, Brandon, overall it still is a challenge, because you have to get all of the species over that size.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. And we, so for most of the sizes, consulted the biologists in the province, and we talked about it, and we definitely looked at what Manitoba did for their sizes, and then looked at our waters and, you know, developed like a compromise between them. And so, for instance, brook trout is a smaller size at 18 inches, and brown trout is a larger size at 22 inches for qualifying. Yeah, so, you know, we looked at all the species and tried to find fair sizes that were a challenge but not impossible to catch.
Yeah, you don't want to make it unreachable either, for, you know, you want to make it fun still.
It's a challenge, and if I honestly, like, if people are able to catch all 23 at the qualifying size within a couple years, I'll be really impressed. Maybe I'll throw in a little personal prize. I'll bake a cake or something and hand it out.
But challenge accepted.
I'll just quit my day job and devote my life to it.
I want a cake from James.
You may.
Yeah.
I learned to bake, I guess.
You got 2 years. I think that's fair. Like when you look at, like you said, how you took into consideration the Manitoba sizes, right? Like I think, like, say, the one that pops into my head is lake trout. Definitely more accessible in Manitoba, I think, with, like, your Clearwater and stuff like that. But then here for, like, and there's some absolute tanks in there, whereas here it's a bit, you got to travel a bit more, and there's not as many lakes that maybe hold as many of those big ones that are accessible to a lot of people, right? So I think it makes sense that maybe if the lake trout one is smaller here than Manitoba, kind of thing, right?
Yeah, and I think, like, for they also did all of their salmonids at the same size, I believe, and it makes sense for them. But a lot of our, like, our brook trouts, for instance, are often limited in their size. Like catching a 22-inch brook trout is going to be near impossible. And it's just, oh, mm-hmm. not, maybe, I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But
yeah,
the versus 18 is like a really, it's a challenge, but it's not
achievable.
It's not that level of, yeah, it's achievable. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. No, I think that's totally fair. I guess, yeah, most of the time you see brookies, you're like, you're in that 8 to 10 range for lots of them, right? Maybe 12. And then, so it is a true master angler when you do get that. And I think people need to realize that too when they're looking at that. Like, this is getting into that top tier of that fish for size, right?
Yep. That's the idea. I guess if there's, we withhold the right to adjust the size going forward. So if in the first year we get slammed with a bunch of fish and it's too easy, we will, you know, I don't know. Can we change it? Maybe.
I think so. I think that's part of the feeling out process. 'Cause then what's the chase? Like, if you know you're going to win a game every time you play, why would you eventually would get bored, right? So if you can make it a little harder, then like just keep going.
That being said, like I mentioned earlier, I think that the real challenge is in all of the species, getting. So if one species is a bit easier, you know, so be it. You still have 22 left on the board that you've got to get above that size threshold. So I don't think it'll be changed. I think that's where the real challenge lies is in the size. I would love to see people sending in tons of brook trout over 18 inches, you know. I think that'd be great to see, and it would really show the health of that fishery in the province. But I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, that's the exciting part. You never know, right? Especially when launching something like this that really hasn't, it's pretty well unique. It's for Saskatchewan, right? There hasn't really been much like this for anything. Maybe there's the Facebook groups where you try and knock off the species and stuff, but other than that.
Yeah, and so the Ministry of Environment used to have a catch and release program, and they weren't able to keep up with it. There wasn't a lot of uptake on it either. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we, as part of the fisheries enhancement program, this seems like a great way to encourage people to get out fishing in the province. So I think they won't be offering that anymore. And this is a more than adequate substitute.
Yeah. I think that whole app potential there is what really will drive it now, right? I'm a lot more likely to use my phone and go and do something than I am to come home and put it on my computer and do that kind of thing, right? So I think, like you said, the accessibility, the ease of it all is huge. Modern
takeover.
Yeah, don't try and Photoshop it.
Don't try and Photoshop it?
Are you going to be viewing all the entries personally?
At the moment, I think it will be. Well, we'll see how many we get, right?
And then if it has everybody to be, can expect a personally signed certificate from you as well, right?
And a cake. And a cake. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
No. Oh. Yeah, we'll definitely, the certificates definitely will be signed and coming out. I'm not sure if it'll be me. I don't know if anyone would want my signature, but we'll it'll be an official thing. It'll be nice.
Yeah. So I think that's really cool. Like, it just, I mean, lots of people that maybe don't do this as much, don't fish as much, like, oh, it's a pin and a certificate. But to, like, I have a couple from the Manitoba one, and I have those saved. Like, I think that's really cool, and the pins and stuff are really cool design on them as well. So I think that's like cool little keepsake, especially for younger kids that are getting into it, right?
Yeah, for sure. And that's something that is really a focus of the enhancement program. It's why urban fisheries is such a highlighted aspect of it, is because making it accessible to kids and getting kids out and engaged with fishing is how we're going to grow the sport in the province and
right.
keep it growing into the future, so people don't lose touch with it over time, and, you know, get them into it early, give them something to chase, and hopefully keep them around for life going after that.
Yeah, and kind of show them the way that thing should be done conservation wise, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yep. And like you said, and it was like it was mentioned in the Gord Pizer episode as well, like these are our big trophy fish, and getting them back into the water alive and healthy is important for the as well going forward. So yeah
exactly. I think it's definitely something that I'm excited to get trying out, just to knock off a couple species for sure. But and it sounds like for your thing, with at least your point of view on this, is that it, whereas with Manitobas you can, like, I could go and catch channel cats all day, right, and put like 15 of them through it, you're eventually, it doesn't cut off, but eventually the certificate stops after like you've caught 10 or something of that one. But is this more based, like you're saying, on the total number of species, or
yeah,
am I good to put in 10 30 inch walleye even though I've only ever caught one?
Well, you still can, like, you can definitely yeah. submit, but it will be the first one that qualifies will be the one that you get the certificate and the pin for. If you catch,
okay,
if you catch more than one, that will be registered as your highest catch, and
okay.
with the future development of that leaderboard, that's where that will show.
Okay,
that's where you'll be able to look at that. But yeah, for now, it's you know, it's that first one is kind of the finish line, so to speak.
Yeah. I'd say don't be, to people using it also, don't be discouraged too. Like, even though you do have your badge and your certificate there, like, don't be discouraged to put that in, because like you said earlier, it's helping with the data and whatnot, right?
Yeah, for sure. The more we know about the lake, the better. And if it's a record fish for the province, you know, that
it'll get noticed.
It'll get noticed, yeah. And there's, like I said, there's a bunch of additional prizes and awards for the program, and you have a lot of opportunity to get some shout outs and stuff like that. So
yeah, I guess that's one thing with, I don't know how well documented, like I've seen, like there's a couple different resources that will show like the record sizes. Is that something that is or might be implemented in the future, as kind of like a list of what the records are?
Well, I think it's a challenge to access historic records and put them in. Mm-hmm. But the record will be accessible for the fish that are submitted.
Okay.
We do have the fish registry as that gets a fair bit of use right now. Again, that one is catch and keep or catch and release. It can be either. But yeah, it's you know, the records that are submitted to this program will be accessible.
Right. Okay. I think that's awesome. That kind of, yeah, no, I think that does. I think that's really cool to have that as well, because you've got your own, like Brandon said earlier, you're competing against yourself. And then once there is a leaderboard, you kind of compete there. And then also there's kind of that top bar, right, with the biggest walleye, I guess, that's been submitted to the program.
And I will also say that right now in the province, I don't think there is a consolidated record.
Yeah.
So the biggest catch of a bunch of any of the species isn't all in one place. So hopefully this provides an avenue to consolidate those records so that the biggest fish is listed here.
Is known.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is known.
Because, yeah. There, you know, you could have so many people out there that have their own provincial record that isn't, you know, confirmed or certified, or, you know what I mean? Or people don't, you know, catching fish that aren't submitting to anything right now. But, you know, hopefully this can become like the core and the center of big fish submissions, and a place that, you know, when people are curious about a provincial record or big fish, etc., that this is, you know, this is where, you know, their mind takes them. I'm going to go check the Master Angler program, because that's the Saskatchewan top resource for this.
Yeah. I had something else, but I forget what I was going to say.
That happens to me all the time.
Your point was so good.
It happens to me all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be really great to see. And, oh, that's what it was. So having standardized submission requirements also help, because, yeah, you know, you get a picture of a tail on a measuring tape, and the tail's reading 30, but you don't see the head at the,
yes,
at the other end of the tape. It's,
yeah,
you know, is it really 30? So having a standardized set of rules for submission will also help, I think.
So I guess that's maybe, like, we've had you for quite a while here, especially after your long travel, but I think that would be something good to kind of, if you could maybe let us know what, I guess, the standard rules are for entry, because I've seen a lot of things from like a homemade bump board to a little snaky measuring tape. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No, it's not that stringent in terms of measuring tape apparatus. If you know, not to get technical, but you can I think any regular measuring tape or bump board is fine that has a standard length. There's in the future I'd love to develop a boat sticker or a boat board or whatever that people could get, but for now you know, you have to be able to see the head and the tail and the number clearly in the shot for the photograph, and I think that's kind of like the main component. And then you have to be able to, the fish can't be covered in blood and missing eyes and,
yeah,
you know,
eyes popping.
Yeah. It has to be, the fish has to look in a healthy condition as well.
Yeah. Cause that's the most important thing, that's, I guess. Right.
Yeah.
There's no point in having a program if you're not going to take care of the fish.
Yeah. And those are, I think, the main objectives for the rules, is to have a fair submission on the size and ensure to the best of our ability that the fish is released in a good condition.
Yeah. And I guess for anyone listening and if they don't know, James is a big video and photo guy. So as he said earlier, don't try and edit those photos. He will figure it out.
I'll look at that metadata.
Was there anything that we didn't touch on the Master Angler program that you maybe wanted to mention?
No, I mean, I'm just excited to get it out. It's been a lot of people working on it and spent a lot of time talking about it and figuring out how to make this program, you know, work for Saskatchewan and good for the province. And I'm just excited to get it out to everybody and let them give it a try and, you know, see what fish they're catching.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a really important thing. And like we talked about earlier, like, it's kind of the first of its kind here with the whole app and stuff. So I'm sure just with like any app, there might be some hiccups here and there, but that's just all part of growing, and people just got to understand that. Cause just from talking to you, what you've kind of and put in my head of what's kind of envisioned, I think it can be a really, really awesome tool to have for years to come.
And that's the beginning. That's been part of the, that is just the beginning. And that's part of the delay as well. Right. Is like, you don't want to, when you release it, you want it to be, as good as possible. There may be problems, but you know, that's why we've taken our time on it and didn't have it out earlier, is that it, you know, it's got to work or people won't be interested. So,
Yeah.
First impressions are a big thing too, right? So if, you know, something's faulty right off the bat, you don't want to scare people away from wanting to, you know, download it and have it there and use it. But you know, with that being said, it is just the beginning, like I mentioned. And if people have flaws or, you know, suggestions, I'm pretty sure you're an open book. You're pretty approachable. If people have any type of concerns, I'm sure they can reach out to yourself and the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation, and you know, they'll be heard, I'm sure. So
constructive criticism is the key word there. Don't need to be dicks about it, and like some people can be.
I mean, and the, you know, part of it too is you can't please everybody. You can't. The goal is to make it as enjoyable as possible for as many people as possible, and I think it will be that. I guess we'll find out when people get in their hands, but yeah, we'll see where it goes and what the reaction is and what that feedback looks like, but I'm pretty optimistic about it.
Time will tell. Yeah. I guess, is this like the first public conversation about it? Like, I've seen rumblings, but
I wrote an article about it, or I guess did an interview about it for an article.
Okay.
But that doesn't come out until July anyways. So this, depending on when this podcast releases, this probably will be the very first.
You heard it here first.
The exclusive.
You heard it here first, folks.
Breaking news. Yeah.
That's right. Although I'm pretty sure at this point most people have heard something about it, because
there's been a little bit of buzz,
Yeah, I've been like I said, I've been talking to a bunch of different people, trying to get some opinions and incorporate it to make it as good as it can be right off the hop. And yeah.
Sweet.
We'll see.
I'm looking forward to it. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, me too. I will just alter the numbers so mine are at the top. And
yeah. Having a little glitch here. For some reason, James at the top of every single one.
It's just testing it out.
Yeah.
No, okay. I won't. I won't be participating myself, except for on a trial basis to make sure that it works.
No burner account.
No burner account. No.
Joe, me and Brian will have to have a podcast competition for it. Yeah,
just me with another mustache on top of my mustache.
Yeah, definitely not James will be the name. Sweet.
Well, yeah. I mean, if there's nothing else to touch on that, I mean, once the program is released. I'm sure we're going to have you back on here to talk a little bit about, you know, what's going well, what's not going well. You know, so some submissions that are coming in, all kinds of good stuff, with that program once it finally releases. Thank you for taking the time. We know you're probably exhausted, but sitting down with us and talking about this program and the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation and kind of what's coming here for the province of Saskatchewan.
Yeah, really, really happy and excited to be here, and happy that we're able to work with you on this podcast as well in general.
We're pumped.
Yeah, you guys are doing great, and hopefully we can get out and maybe make some videos sometime of catching fish.
Yeah, I guess just quickly before you do go, for anyone who maybe hasn't like seen some of the stuff you've done, I'm sure if you've seen, I noticed you had on your Instagram that you made some of the Sask Wildlife Federation like commercials and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I've always kind of wondered like, who films this stuff? Like some of those animals and stuff that you, that's the answer. This guy, some of the stuff you shot is incredible. So I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah. It's something I've always liked is the nature of photography and video. I kind of come from a sports background, doing a lot of mostly hockey, baseball, basketball, that kind of stuff.
So, I seen that you were videoing Connor McDavid. Do you want to touch on that real quick?
Yeah, I've done a fair bit with him. I was part of a crew that was doing a documentary during his draft year.
Yeah.
So followed him through the NHL combine and went to his very first meeting with the Oilers actually at that combine. Wow. And did a bunch of behind the scenes stuff of they went to, it was him, Eichel, Strome, and there's like three other players, but they went to the Everglades and checked out some swamp stuff, and we did the draft, and I've done sorry, I went on a tangent there, but
that's fine.
I've done a bunch of hockey stuff, I guess.
Yeah, that's sweet. I guess how he's probably faster now, but how fast? Oh, I saw some videos where you were following him, but how fast is he?
He's so fast. He's going through obstacles.
I actually just pulled up the video on your Instagram.
Full speed.
And the caption is back on the ice. Fastest player in the world being chased by .. me. And you're chasing him with a gimbal down the ice. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very fast, and I am not. No,
no,
I can skate, but like he's going full tilt and obstacles, and you got to keep in mind like that was during off season, like that was like beginning of August during a regular season. Obviously, right now we're a little messed up, but he was still like a month and a half away from regular season, so. And he's that's flying. Crazy.
So I guess we should end this. Brandon already kind of said the goodbye, and then I got into this. But have you been keeping up with the playoffs at all?
I have. I usually work, or not usually, but usually work the playoffs. So it's a little bit weird this year. I was actually in the bubble last year in Toronto for the playoffs. Oh, wow. So I always Yeah, so I always try and keep up with...
Keep up with a hockey podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the heck? Yeah. Who do you got winning the Stanley Cup this year?
Probably the Avalanche.
That's
it's kind of a... I think that's like the default answer, but...
Yeah.
They are so good this year.
Yeah, and no disrespect to the North, but they've... Like, that's their next matchup, so... I can't see them not making it. If they make it past Vegas, I can't see them not making it past the North and into the final.
It'll be a wake up call.
And then it's a coin flip, right? So
Because those
McKinnon, McKinnon's one of the best playoff hockey players in history.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Really does find like another gear, eh?
100%.
Yeah. We'll have to well, keep watching. Go. See who gets that cup.
Bet you a fishing trip on it or something. We can.
That sounds good to me.
A fishing trip to Buffalo Pound.
That's only 15 minutes away for you. I'm down.
Nice.
The mud bath.
Yeah. Hey. It's a nice lake.
Well, there you have it. Fisheries enhancements, master angler programs, chasing Connor McDavid down the ice with a camera, and the Colorado Avalanche are going to win the Stanley Cup.
You're going to put that on me, eh?
Yeah.
I'm happy if they don't, because my team's still in, but
Bruins? Are you Bruins?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I may have caught a little bit of a Bruins vibe coming from over there.
Yeah. I'm a Bruins fan, but I'm very modest.
Okay.
I'm modest. I don't like to say, Bruins are for sure winning the cup this year, because I, just like you said, there's a lot of good teams out there, so.
Yeah.
Just a fan. Big fan. Yeah.
Well, once again, thank you, James. We appreciate you coming on, and I'm sure we'll have you on in the near future.
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks for having me.
So there you have it. Another great episode of the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. We appreciate James for coming on. We know he had a very, very busy couple days leading up to this interview. He was on the road chasing around different bodies of waters and fish around the province. Pretty cool career, if you ask me. I mean, he's gets to see a lot of the province that maybe a lot of people don't get the opportunity to see, or in a lot of species that a lot of people don't get to chase. So once again, we definitely appreciate James coming on. It's super exciting to finally have that out in the public that, you know, the Master Angler program is coming to Saskatchewan. It's kind of been through the grapevine. I know a lot of people have been talking about it or hearing things, and finally we're super fortunate that we get to have James on here and kind of confirm it for you guys that, you know, this program is coming to our province.
Yeah, I think that's, we've kind of known about it for a bit there. And like we've said in the couple episodes before, like there's something coming, and we're very happy to kind of, I guess, be almost pretty well the first public official release of it kind of thing. I think it'll be a lot of fun. It's definitely something that I enjoyed being able to do when I've gone over to Manitoba fishing. So it's going to be awesome having that right in our home province here, and just seeing how many we can knock off, basically. I think it'll be a challenge for sure, but it'll be something that kind of, fishing's already a ton of fun, but it's always fun when you can kind of have something else going on and something else that you're working towards kind of thing. So definitely looking forward to it. Can't wait for it to come out and just give it a try.
Yeah, and I think it's important too, like James mentioned, they've been working on this for a long time. Him and his team and the app developers, etc. They've been working on it for a while now. They want it to be as good as possible, but it is technology. You know, once it comes out, there might be a couple of glitches, a couple of flaws, and that's just something that, you know, we need to work with, and just appreciate that there's somebody bringing this to the table here in the province, and something for us anglers to enjoy for hopefully a long time, and other generations to enjoy and appreciate as well. So looking forward to the official launch of the Saskatchewan Master Angler Program. And of course, if you are in the market for any type of gear, whether that be, you know, rods, reels, baits, definitely check out 13fishing.ca. They are a presenting sponsor. They have tons of great products. We use them ourselves religiously. I trust them. Every time I go out on the water, you can use our code WEEKENDWARRIORS for 15% off 13fishing's entire website. So definitely go check them out. Some inventory is limited. Obviously, there's still COVID, manufacturing issues going on across a lot of industries, and fishing is one of them. It's such a high demand right now. So there's a lot of things that maybe aren't available. We have gotten word from our source at 13fishing that a lot of things will be restocked in July. So definitely keep your eyes out for something. If it's not in stock now, it will be soon. So thanks again, everybody. We appreciate you for tuning in. Tight lines.
Tight lines. Tune in next week to see who, or I guess how, the tournament ended up. Should be a barn burner, I think.
Thanks for tuning in to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your favorite listening platform so we can reach more anglers just like you. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for media updates and behind-the-scenes content.